I want to bring two messages upon a very important subject. It is the finality of the present earth world, which will come about in the great judgment day, when God will judge all the beings that came into the world during this period in this world as we know it today. And then we want to look out beyond that to the new world in which dwelleth righteousness. So we're going to deal with those two subjects today. Lord, bless the preaching of thy word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Over in the book of Revelation, we have an important statement. It is a statement from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a statement about what's going to happen to this world after the day of final judgment. And what will happen at the judgment bar of God's strict judgment in the winding up of this present evil world. And in the book of the Revelation, at the chapter 21 and at the verse 27, we read these words: "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." And here we have a very important law laid down, that when this world reaches its final judgment day, a day that has brought judgment to this world because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the beginning of this present world. And after that, the world that was sinless became sinful. And the world that once was a pleasure to God was now found in the camp of the enemies of God, and especially the camp of Satan, who was a great rebel against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But in the book of Revelation, we find that Christ is coming. And when he comes, there will be the judgment day. And there will be a complete change, and a new earth, and a new heaven, in which dwelleth righteousness. And there will be no entry, as there was an entry into the Garden of Eden by Satan. But there's going to be a day when the new world in no wise will ever see anyone or anything that can defile. It's going to be a defileless world. No power can reverse that. irreversible holiness and purity and the glory of the Lord God Almighty. And whatsoever worketh to make an abomination or make a lie, they will not ever appear. It's going to be a new world that is sinlessness is going to govern that new world. And at no time, no matter how many millions of years shall come and go, will there be a speck of sin ever to set foot in this world. So our attention is drawn to the first harvest of the old world, this present world. And that is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 18. And in that third chapter of Genesis, it gives us a record, an inspired record of what took place. That this world had thorns in it because sin had come, and had thistles in it because sin had come. And it was a fallen world. And in charge of the rebellion was one who was first a great angel in heaven, appointed, as we read the scriptures, to govern the songs that were raised in that day to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But this rebel angel tore the whole place to pieces. How? By the introduction of sin and rebellion against the true and holy Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the amazing thing is, as we have already referred to, in the book of Revelation, we have something different in this new world that shall come, that it'll not be possible for another Lucifer, Satan, and the devil, will not be possible for them to cause any havoc or to cause any more misery. Because nothing that worketh abomination, nothing that can make a lie, can't take place. The barricade is up forever. The doors are locked forever. The great gates will never be opened but to joy and praise, and sin will be unknown. Now I want to take the first look at this great situation that will overcome this world of sin as we see it today. Note the touch of mercy, the sword of justice is put away forever. And instead of the sword, hallelujah, there's the song. The fight is over. The soldiers have all become songsters and the sons of the Most High God. What a touch of mercy, and what a barricade against any reversal of what God will do when Jesus Christ takes the throne forever and the King of Kings reigns, and the Father pours his joys of oil upon his beloved Son, who came from the brightest of his glory to this world of sin in order to redeem it. And all he came to do, he accomplished. And the Spirit of God will fill the souls of the songsters of the world. This is a great miracle that's going to happen. One of the greatest miracles. But it's the greatest miracles because the greatest price was paid for it. This could not have happened if Christ had not left the Father's house and the Father's throne. It could not have happened if he had not taken unto him flesh and blood and became the man Christ Jesus. It could not have happened if he had not given himself upon the cross as the substitute for sinners, as the great sacrifice that put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, the glory that brought about this greater glory that is coming. Note the touch of mercy. In Revelation chapter 23, it says, there shall in no wise enter into this great city anything that defileth. You just think of the extent of that and measure it to this extent of sin in all the millenniums that this world that we're now in have taken place. The sins, the murder, the evil breaking of every one of God's commandments, the rebellion and the brutality and the wickedness of this world. Gone. Unknown. Unheard of. Never again to be repeated. And Christ, it will reign from shore to shore and from sea to sea, and from the heavens to the new heaven and the new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Thank God for God's grace, because what happened when Adam took the forbidden fruit? What happened when Eve had already partaken of that fruit? What happened when a whole world of sinners, rebels, haters of God, those that curse God and all he was in his holiness and purity, it's wiped away. And we will sing. And what singing there will be. The worst singer in the world, saved by grace, will sing the sweetest song. And we all get to heaven with a day of rejoicing. That will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Now let us go back and let us take a look at the fall of the first world. And there came along Eve. But this Eve had been tempted and conquered by the devil himself. Once he was a glorious angel. Now he is the hideous devil from the pit of iniquity. And of course, he set himself to destroy all that God had done and was doing. So he went and spoke to Eve. And he told her that she should eat of the fruit. And it was quite known, as we read the Bible, that she knew the commandment of God. She wasn't to eat of the fruit. And she knew that the day she ate of that fruit, God said there would be death. That time there was no such of experience in that world. It was a world that had no death in it. But Satan brought with him one of the fruit of the trees. And she took it. And she ate it. And she gave also to her husband, Adam. And he took it and he ate it. John Milton, the famous writer and poet in the days of Oliver Cromwell, and in the days of the Puritan, wrote this concerning Eve and her husband. From the bough she gave him of that fair enticing fruit. With liberal hand he scrupled not to eat. Again, his better knowledge, not deceived, but fondly overcome with female charm, earth trembled from her entrails, as again in pangs and nature gave a second groan. And what a groan it was. The groan of the fall. The sky lured, muttering thunder, great drops were wept at the completion of the mortal sin of our two first parents. Original. While Adam took no thought, eating his fill, nor Eve to iterate her former trespass feared, the more to soothe him with her loved society, that now, as with new wine, had made both of them intoxicated to this liquid. They swim in mirth and fancy that they feel divinity within them and their breeding wings, wherewith the earth knew that the earth itself had been overcome, and it was a false fruit that Adam and Eve partook in. Far other operations were now displayed openly. Carnal desire inflamed Adam and Eve. They cast about their lascivious eye, and they find that payment was to be meted out to them. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Milton says in his poem, "However I wish I with thee had fixed my lot, certain to undergo like doom, if death consort with thee, death is to me as life. So forcible within my heart I feel the bond of nature draw me to my own in thee. For what thou art is mine. Our state cannot be severed. We are one, our own one flesh, and it has lost all holiness. What a day when blackness covered the whole earth. And all we can say as we look at what was happening, what a happening that was, and what a terrible happening it took. God has, of course, not left Adam and Eve and all mankind to go deeper and deeper in their sins, with no hope, no faith, no way to escape damnation. But there came to that a very fallen garden. He who afterwards was known as Emmanuel, God with us. Our God did not cut off himself from the fallen too. When he comes for judgment, of course, every lost sinner will be separated from God Almighty forever. The sinners of the world will come for judgment. not for grace or salvation. For the time to seek that grace and salvation is now. Now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. But God came, and he came to judge. But his judgment was wonderfully turned, and the person to be judged was not going to be Adam and Eve, but the person that was going to take the judgment was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was going to take the judgment. Yes, and what a judgment it was. The judgment for Adam and Eve and for every sinner that comes into the world. There is hope at the cross and cleansing of the Savior's blood, and a passport, thank God, to the eternal city of God. Yes, the purity of God's love, how everlasting it is. The glory of his grace is more than tongue can tell. In the darkness there was light, and a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. The holiness of the Most High God was attached to a free passport to the heaven of heavens. Listen to these tremendous words. Revelation chapter 21, 23 to 27. And what do we read there? We read these great words. The 21st chapter of Revelation, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What a change. From the darkness of the fall to the light of the one who is the light of the world. To nakedness and dark, from nakedness and darkness to those clothes that God made for them. And the nations of them which are saved, where are they going to walk? In further darkness? No. They're going to walk in the light. The light will expel the darkness. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor to that city. What a change. And the gates of it shall not be shut. Guard of Eden's gates were shut, but the gates of this new Eden will never be closed. And there shall be no night there. Darkness. And days as we know them will be gone forever. And there'll be one great perfect day. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they are written, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And the next verse. Ah, he showed me a pure river of water of life. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of it, is the tree. The tree's back again. But it is the tree of life. And whosoever eateth of that tree shall live forever. What a reversal. What a change. What a right about turn has taken place. And what the devil planned to be another blow against the purity, the majesty, the omnipotence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was changed into the greatest victory of all. Satan is defeated forever. He's going for an eternal imprisonment in the place of fire and brimstone and judgment. Whereas those that have come to the cross and knelt down upon their knees and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, have been changed. They become new creatures in Christ Jesus. How new is that? Well, that's something we can only hint at, because someday we will see it. And those that have heard me preach in heaven will say, Paisley was a very poor preacher of heaven. This heaven is far beyond anything he could say or tell us. You know why? The love that Jesus had for you and for me is more than tongue can tell. The bitter sorrow that he bore, and oh, the crown of thorns that he wore, that I might live forevermore, it is more than tongue can tell. I ask you to get into your mind three great statements made by an old Puritan preacher, Dr. Watson. And 3 years before, or 6 years rather, after the Boyne victory by William, this Puritan, in the year 1696, made a tremendous statement. Open your ears and listen. What did he say? He said, observe three things in God's giving. Number one, God is not weary of giving. The springs of eternal mercy are always running, and it's always the depth that's needed to flood their banks. God did not only dispense blessings in the former years of the world's history, but he gave to Adam and Eve the promise. and the promise led to clothing, and clothing led to eternal peace in their hearts. And so God has given to us not a sun that rises and sets, because the sun that God sets in the heaven of our salvation never goes out. There's no blackness of darkness. It is light forever. It's morning light. It's noonday light. It is light for the evening time as we know it today. And it's light all of the night. There is no darkness in God's heaven. The honeycomb of God's bounty is still dropping and it's still shining. But secondly, God is not weary of giving, but God delights to give. It tells me, my Bible, that he delighteth in mercy. As a mother delights to give the child the breast, God loves that we should have the heart of God's mercy beating in our souls. Oh, the throbs of a heart that loves us. Oh, the throbs of a heart that gave his son for us. Oh, the throbs of the heart of the Son as he died upon the cross and rose again. And oh, the wonder of the power of the Spirit which he sent on the day of Pentecost, that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory. But, says Watson, God gives to those that were his greatest enemies. Where is Adam today? He's in heaven. Where is Eve today? She's in heaven. But they committed a terrible sin, yes. And that sin marked all those who have entered the human race, yes. But there's wonderful power in the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, giveth us peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. God gives to his very enemies mercy. Men used to spend their power upon their enemies. But God spread a table, the dewdrops on the thistle as well as upon the rose, and the dew of God's bounty drops upon the worst of sinners. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. I want to end this sermon by simply saying, believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Amen and amen.